Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
MG is back, and it's electric. From just €28,995. The truly affordable, family-friendly electric range just got even more affordable. With €750 off an MG ZSEV when you book a test drive on MG.ie between now and June 19th. MG, recharge your soul. Excludes delivery and related charges. Terms and conditions apply. Visit MG.ie for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Point, Planet F1's very own podcast. So, the season is just over a week away now. It's been a long wait, so given that, we thought we'd do another season preview. Yes, a second one. We didn't think we'd be doing that at the start of the year. We obviously did one back in March, just before the Australian Grand Prix, but yeah, that feels like a very, very long time ago, doesn't it, Michelle?
Oh, an extremely long time ago. I can't believe that by the time they go racing, it will have been 4 months since testing ended. It just seems so crazy. Boy, did it drag. But yeah, good news.
It honestly makes the winter break feel small, I think, this one. It's just gone on for so long. So yeah, obviously, we're not going to completely rehash what we said in March. There are some things that still stand true. But yeah, there's obviously a lot of things that have also changed. So we're just going to go over all of those today, but just to kick things off with, I thought we'd just take a final look at how the teams have been preparing for the season. There's been two approaches, effectively, haven't there? There's been the approach of teams testing their 2018 cars, or the approach of teams testing their current cars on a filming day, where they can cover a lot less distance and use fewer tyres. So which approach of those do you think is best? Obviously, we've seen Renault, Mercedes and Ferrari use their 2018 cars, while AlphaTauri and Racing Point did filming days.
Finley, I think it's a bit of six of one, half a dozen of the other. It depends what you're going for entirely. With the filming days, you are limited to 100 kilometers per day, and only 2 days of those are allowed in a year. So basically, the teams are separating the day, giving one driver 50Ks and the other driver 50Ks, which isn't really a lot of time to get your eye in. It also isn't a lot of time really to develop a car if that's what they are looking to. During the filming days, you also have to run a pair of dodgy, or should I say a set of dodgy Pirelli tires, and not the ones that you'll be using in the championship this year. So there isn't really a whole lot to be gained from it. The teams already know their cars. They spent six days, on the track back in February, laying down mile after mile after mile. So I don't really see much to be gained with developing the 2020 car during 100 kilometers of running. As for the other approach, the putting in lots of miles but in an old car, you know, you're getting your eye in, you're getting used to procedure, you're you're getting used to just being out on track. And of course, there's the new COVID procedures of the social distancing and everything like that. But in those grounds as well, you're running a car that's 2 years old. So there's not much to be learnt about the car. In fact, there's nothing to be learnt about the car. So yeah, I think both of them sort of have a few merits, but not many at all. I think even teams such as McLaren, who are not getting to run the 2018 car or the 2020 car, so they instead put their drivers in a Formula 3 car, I think it's pretty much the same. The drivers have been out on track. They've had a chance to get their eye in and to feel speed and to feel G-force and to see how their bodies are doing. And that's pretty much all you need. I mean, it looks like Kimi Raikkonen is literally spending his time just karting with his son, Robin. So that's going to be his preparations.
Yeah, his son looked pretty handy as well. I think he was going for the overtake on the video I saw. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, personally, I feel like the main purpose of these tests is just to get the drivers back on the track, back in a racing car. Just to, like you said, get their eye in again. So, for that, I'm inclined to say that I think for them to do as much distance as they can on, you know, the closest tires to the real thing possible is probably the best preparation they can get, rather than only being able to do a certain amount of miles. And especially considering they can't actually be developing the car in any way, obviously those that are running the 2020 filming day. So, yeah, I was a bit, I don't know, I don't see the benefits of those filming days as much, I guess. Another benefit, I think, maybe the kind of the tracks that they're testing on. Obviously, we've got Renault were testing at the Red Bull Ring, which Helmut Marko wasn't particularly pleased about, unsurprisingly. Do you think that's a benefit for them? Just maybe for the drivers, I guess, to get used to the track again before they have the first two races there?
Yeah, I thought that one was a bit strange, that Red Bull rented out its Red Bull Ring to one of its main rivals. Helmut Marko also thought it was pretty strange, but apparently the management of the circuit is not actually affiliated with Red Bull. So, but anyway, heads might be rolling on that one if Marko has a say in it. I think of all the venues that the teams have been in action in, yes, the Red Bull Ring is the preferred venue, and well done to Renault for grabbing that. But again, the drivers spent 50 kilometers each putting laps on the circuit. That's not much time to learn the perfect racing line or that sort of thing. So again, the best circuits to have tested on, but the fact that they were limited to 100 kilometers for the day kind of negates that.
Yeah, it's all there's only so much they can do, isn't it, I guess, with all the regulations and the little time they have before the season starts. But so that's how the 2020 grid have been preparing. We're expecting to see, I think Red Bull are going to be doing a filming day of their own in the next couple of days. AlphaTauri should be doing so today at Imola. So, the preparations are continuing. And I'm assuming they will up until the start of the season next Friday. Let's get into talking about the season a bit. Obviously, we spoke a lot about it in our first season preview, which ended up being pretty irrelevant. But I mean, obviously not much has actually happened on track. Well, nothing's happened on track since then. So not too much has changed. In terms of the pecking order, it's still safe to say we think Mercedes would be top. Racing Point probably the best of the rest, and Williams and Haas struggling at the back, like we said. But obviously a lot has happened off track that could affect the season to come. We've had various driver switches, you know, Vettel leaving Ferrari, Sainz replacing him and Ricciardo going to McLaren. The calendar's looking wildly different to it ever has before, and it could still look very different. So how different do you think the season's going to shape up to be now, given the delay we've had? What do you think of the big changes?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think the championship is still Lewis Hamilton's to lose. I don't think anything, the break or anything like that, has changed that story whatsoever. Initially I thought it would be Red Bull who would be taking the fight to Mercedes. I'm now inclined to say it could be Sebastian Vettel, because he's got absolutely nothing to lose. He doesn't need to listen to team orders. He doesn't need to listen to anything. This year could be his last in Formula One, and he's going to want to go out on top. So I would really love to see Vettel fighting Hamilton for the world title in what could be his last season. But like you say, there's other things in play as well. I mean, we can say that Vettel doesn't need to listen to team orders, but like Bernie Eccleston recently brought up, he's hoping Ferrari treat him fairly. There are other ways to hamper a driver, you know, give him the old stuff while Charles Leclerc gets all the new stuff. But one can only hope that Ferrari do in this final season for Vettel, just give him everything and let him go for that title along with Hamilton.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up because in our first preview, we both predicted that Vettel would beat Leclerc this season in the Ferrari. And that was just when we thought it would be another year of Vettel at Ferrari and he'd probably renew his contract. I thought he'd beat Leclerc and then he'd, you know, regain the number one status at the team. I mean, that's definitely not going to happen now. Number one status is definitely Leclerc's. But it is completely different, the situation at Ferrari now, isn't it? Because, yeah, like you said, on one hand, Vettel doesn't have to follow team orders. On the other, Ferrari might well avoid giving him upgrades. I mean, in terms of his motivations, what do you think they are? Do you think there's a part of him that thinks, I'm going to be leaving at the end of the year, I'm not too fussed? Or do you think he's really going to want to go out and prove a point this season?
I think he's going to really want to go out and prove a point. I mean, it'd be incredible if he were to walk away from Formula One with the world championship, the number one, pretty much, well, not pretty much, but his, you know. Yesterday, Ferrari were testing at Mugello, and the reports coming out were basically that Vettel was overjoyed to be back in the car. And Automoto and Sport is also reporting that he was pretty stoked that Ferrari put him in the car first, because he feels that this means that they still appreciate his experience and what he brings to the team. So I'm really expecting Vettel to just go all out this season. As I said, him versus Hamilton for a world title fight, put Max Verstappen on the fringes. What an incredible year we'd be in for.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. It sounds good. I mean, yeah, moving on to Verstappen, I think it's only right to mention him, considering that the first two races at the Red Bull Ring, which he's tended to dominate in recent years. I mean, obviously, it depends largely on how long the season turns out to be. But with a start like that, he's got to be more in contention now than he was back in March, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's won at the Red Bull Ring the last 2 years. Last year was a great late race pass on Charles Leclerc to take the victory. Being on home soil, it just seems to give Max that added boost. So, you know what would be really interesting is if he did win those opening two races in Austria, and then let's see Hamilton play catch-up against someone who's not a teammate.
Yeah, we've never seen Verstappen lead a championship before. I haven't checked the stats, but I'm pretty sure he's literally never done it. I'm fairly confident of it because he's never won an opening race. So it would be interesting, yeah, to see Hamilton play catch-up and also to see Verstappen actually take the lead role for once. Because one thing I think about him is he kind of thrives when the expectations are lower for him. So, for example, when he joined Red Bull at Barcelona in 2016, nobody expected him to do particularly well immediately. And he ended up winning the race, you know. And then you look at early 2018 when Red Bull had a better car and Daniel Ricciardo was smashing it. And again, Verstappen was expected to do better because of the car. And he had a horrible run of results. So, yeah, I think he's best when the pressure's off him and the expectations aren't too high. So I think going into the first two races where he's probably the bookies' favourite to win them, given his and Red Bull's form there. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he handles that expectation, I think. I mean, yeah, going into the first race then, what's your prediction? Who do you think's going to win it?
I'm going to say Max. Because it's what I'd love to see. So let Max win it, or Vettel. Maybe even put Hamilton off the podium just to spice things up a little bit. Mercedes, they don't always do too well at the Red Bull Ring. I think last year they had a bit of a nightmare. They couldn't get the tires and stuff working. So, yeah, Max first, Vettel second. Let's maybe give third to Leclerc with Hamilton behind him. And then, yeah, let's all see what they can do a week later at the same track.
Yeah, that's going to be the interesting thing, isn't it? Seeing it a week later again, the exact same track, same strategy, same format and everything. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Max will win it. I think it'll be tight because it's such a short track. Well, not always, but in recent years, it's tended to be pretty close. I think Max, and then, yeah, it's such a question mark with the Ferrari at how good the car is. But I don't think Albon's got it in him to get a podium straight away. So I'd probably say Vettel, and then I'd have to be boring and say Hamilton for the final podium place. That's the top of the grid. Just briefly going to the bottom, because another thing we both predicted in our original season preview podcast was that Williams would be much closer in the midfield fight and may even finish above Haas. Obviously, quite a lot has happened at Williams since then. They're now looking to sell and just generally struggling financially. Is that also another one you're going to stick with?
I'm going to. Williams have, subsequent to the news of the pending sale of the team, have come out and said they do have the budget for the season. They're not worried about not being able to do what they need to do this year. So I'm really hoping that they do come to the party, that if 2020 turns out to be Frank Williams' team's last season on the grid, that they go out in style. I'd hate them to go out with another P10. It would be absolutely heart-wrenching, not just for Williams fans, but I think for Formula One in general. And also pretty much a damning indictment on the sport and how the costs of it has just, well, completely rubbished the little teams, unless you're a big manufacturer. So, yeah, Williams doing good would be an awesome, awesome result this season.
I mean, one thing I think we definitely got from the off-season was, well, some people, depending on how you view virtual racing. Obviously, George Russell completely dominated it pretty impressively. A lot of people think that that's going to, you know, it kind of shows how good he is and that form's going to come into the season. I think regardless of what you think of his virtual exploits, he's definitely a top driver. And the off-season's kind of brought up the discussion, I think, of him going to Mercedes next year. A bit more prominent. So do you think he's going to be able to benefit a lot from the kind of off-season he's had in terms of success in that virtual series? You know, maybe not in pace, but in kind of confidence. I think he's said himself that it'll help him.
Yeah, I think the confidence will be there. It was great. He won several of the virtual races to win the virtual championship. But, I mean, it means absolutely nothing when it all comes down to it. Yes, he knows the tracks a bit better from spending time in the sim, but the sim does not give you the G-forces and all the physical aspects of the racing. But I do think, like, 2020 will be a good season for George. He's still my number one prediction to replace Valtteri Bottas next season. And I'd like to see him have a good year. I mean, shame he's had to watch as all his mates have stepped up into big team cars and he's down at the bottom of the grid with Williams. So, yeah, a good 2020 for George would be awesome. But if it doesn't pan out that way, well, Mercedes awaits in 2021.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that we'd all like to see. I think, no offense to Valtteri Bottas, but I think at this point Russell would be a much more interesting option. I don't know. I think Williams will still finish bottom, sadly. I just hope it's not rock bottom. I hope they can get a few points and fight the midfield at least. That's all the discussion we'll have on the season preview, because like we said, with the lack of on-track action, not that much has changed, we didn't think, in terms of the pecking order or stuff. Still think that it'll be Mercedes to lose in general, but obviously starting at Austria, Red Bull could have a bit of an advantage to kick off with. One thing I think is a lot more interesting, though, given the strange nature of the season that's coming up, will be the records that could be broken. I wrote the article for the site about records being broken all the way back in March, and to be honest, back then, I didn't think most of them were particularly interesting because a lot of them seemed like foregone conclusions in the 21 race season. In terms of Hamilton beating a bunch of Schumacher's records, podiums, race wins, maybe the championship. Kimi overtaking Barrichello for most race starts ever. I think he was 10 off. So it all looked pretty inevitable. But now, obviously, that's all changed because we're not actually sure how many races we're going to get. So, yeah, I'll just read out a comment we have from someone on the article about the records, and then we'll make our predictions ourselves. So we've got a user called Go McLaren. He may be a bit biased towards Hamilton, judging by the username, but who knows? Maybe he's a newcomer. He says, I think Lewis will take the records for most podiums, most points finishes, equal 7 championships, and the record for win race and lead every lap, which is an Ayrton Senna record at the moment, which Hamilton is level on at the moment. So that's one that's pretty inevitable. Looking at the records, that obviously we've had the Hamilton v Schumacher discussion for a long time now. Do you think this is the year that Hamilton's finally going to, on paper at least, become the best of all time?
Well, I don't know if it'll be the best of all time. Remember, he is only matching the record. He's not beating it.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. And I think one thing about Schumacher is that his records don't look that much better than Hamilton's, because if you compare it by the amount of races they've driven. But you also have to remember that Schumacher came back and was kind of going around in the midfield for quite a while after he made his return with Mercedes. You know, I just look at that and I think before that, his numbers must have looked ridiculously good. But yeah, so let's go through the most race wins, because I think everyone's spoken about the championship and everyone's probably made their mind up on whether it will happen or not. So most race wins, we've got Hamilton 7 short of Schumacher, for example. What do you reckon? Do you think he's going to take 7 wins this season? I mean, obviously, we don't know how many races is actually going to be.
Well, at the moment, there are only 8 races. So for Hamilton to win 7 of those 8, well, that would be super impressive. I think even if we land up with a season of 13 to 15 races, I don't think he's going to get that most race wins won this season. 7 is a lot of races. And like we said, the first 2 are going to Max Verstappen already. So that's sorted. Whether he gets that record or not, he is going to most likely match Schumacher's 7. And that's an incredible feat. So if that 7 is the only record that Hamilton makes this season, I think he's going to think it's a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think he'd take that. Another one would be youngest world champion. Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc, they could both take the title for youngest world champion this season, but it's also their last chance to do so, which in a strange way you think Verstappen may be fairly disappointed about, considering how young he was when he joined the grid. What do you think of the chances of one of those taking it?
Like I said already, I believe this is Hamilton's championship to lose, with Vettel taking the fight to him. But of the two, of Max and Scholl, I'd put Max as the more likely of those two to win the title, given that Charles Leclerc is going to be up against Sebastian Vettel, whereas Max is going to have Alexander Albon helping him. But yeah, it's strange. I mean, Max has been around, wow, it feels like he's been around for a century already, and yet he hasn't got that first world title yet. So it would be pretty impressive if he finally got it in his something like 7th season or 6th season in Formula One.
6th season, I think, which is, pretty crazy. I'd say Verstappen's more likely than Leclerc too. Not thinking about how good the cars will be, because we don't really know that. I just think, it is 6th season, and even though they're around about the same age, he just feels a lot more experienced, I guess, in F1. I guess he's got 4 years more experience than Leclerc has. 3 years, maybe. So, yeah, I think he's probably the most likely one to say that. But to be honest, yeah, I don't think either of them will. I think it's Hamilton's. There's one last thing about the records. I mean, it's probably the most commonly asked question. How important do you think they are? You know, when you look at the record books, I mean, it can't really tell us who's the best of all time, can it?
No, it doesn't tell you who's the best of all time. I mean, Formula One's been going officially since 1950. There's been a lot of changes to safety, to the cars, to the caliber of the drivers, the duration of the season, etc., etc., etc. You can't compare a driver from the 1950s to one from the 1980s to one from today's grid. But on paper, it looks good. It looks good to have a record next to your name. No, it looks good for people to say that Michael Schumacher, unprecedented 7 world titles, or whatever it is that we're talking about. But does it make you the best, even the 7 world titles? No, I think there's a lot more in play than just the numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I think F1's fairly unique in that way, in that it's in everything but name, it's a completely different sport to how it was when Fangio was driving, for example. You know, so yeah, I don't think we can take too much from it. But on the other hand, I don't think drivers are going to be complaining if they get any. It's a nice bonus for sure. Well, yeah, that's just about everything for our second season preview. And oh, we hope to God it's the last season preview we have to do this season. So yeah, just a week to go. Excited, Michelle?
Very much so. It's going to be a crazy few weeks. I think it's 8 races in 11 weeks, something bonkers like that. But yeah, after this very long break, definitely excited.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait. It feels like such a long time since we saw actual competitive racing on a Formula One track. So we'll be there in a week on Friday for free practice to get things started for the 2020 season. So yeah, to everyone listening, thanks very much for listening, and make sure you're up to date on the site planetf1.com to see all our live coverage. In the meantime, keep an eye on our Facebook planetf1 and our Twitter planet_f1 just to see everything else that is going on. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in Austria. Bye.
Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.